This is professional radio, gentlemen.
And it's front wheel drive.
Scotty, have you got anyone you want to thank?
Just myself.
And now we do the after hours.
Gentlemen, what would you go for?
Thanks to your sin, dude.
Okay, and because it's not a supercar.
But it is.
It's not.
Automotive perfection comes in the form of two letters, A and U.
Long live my LTD.
Welcome to Car Talk. It's Tuesday night here on 98.9 Northwest FM. It's me, Matty J, in studio with Mr. Tyron Cabral, online with Mr. Rob Zadai, Scotty Doe Johnson, Edward Bunting, and good friend Alex in the background. How are you guys going?
Good.
Good to see all your lovely faces again for another edition of this show. Hope you're all doing well. Let's crack on straight away with some car updates. Now, Rob, we've discussed a few weeks ago that selling on Marketplace is just a complete, utter mess, and you're having the same kind of feeling. Why is the Marketplace not being kind to one Rob Zadai?
Just people, you know, not even willing to make an effort to go out and have a look at the item, and they just try to lowball you, and they don't even have a look at it. They don't ask what the condition is. They don't even ask anything about the car.
Yeah.
They just try to lowball you. Yeah, so it was just too many lowballers. People aren't serious about actually having a look at it. They try to haggle before they even have a look at something. It's just with wheels and tyres, cars. People are just, I don't know what they are. They're couch surfers on Marketplace trying to get this huge bargain and then try to sell it on and make a little bit of money on it. I don't know.
Yep, I think it's exactly that. And it's the ease of doing it from your couch is now, it's made people very lazy, you know, and it won't just be you, you know, they'll message 50 people about 50 different items and lowball. And if two of them quack, well, okay, then they'll go and look at those two or go and do a deal on those two. But it's really lazy behavior. And I was saying it the other week, you know, how you had to get the trading post and you got two lines of text and you'd sort of spend $4 a line to do the ad and you'd have to really kind of ring the person and ask a lot of questions to ascertain the condition. And then you'd go out and look at it if that all matched up. And there was a bit of effort involved. You know, you had to actually get off your ass and do something. Whereas now you get all the digital high-risk photos in the world. You don't have to do anything.
As we mentioned earlier on the show a few episodes ago, it's just like people are, they're too lazy. Like they don't want to go out. They're essentially making everybody do the work for them. And they said, oh, well, as you were dealing with, how many 130 people messaged you about your
130 on the Swift, 130 inquiries.
And all of them were, you're not going to do this.
One guy did try and buy it at a low price because I was just over it by then. But 129 of them, nowhere.
Wow. The
best ones are they ask you, oh, is it available? And then they don't even, and you say yes, and they don't even respond to it.
Yeah. That was honestly out of 130, that was probably 115 of them. You know, yeah.
I mean, that's what people are putting on there now. Like, I will not respond to, is it available?
Yeah,
exactly.
I had someone go, is it available? I said yes. They gave me a thumbs up, said it's an accident, and then I didn't get a response. So I said, okay.
What?
Like, oh, sorry, I didn't mean to inquire.
Right.
Okay.
I think it's all those Android users.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, here we go. Come on,
yeah,
Rob.
Yeah. iPhone users, good eggs.
Oh, please.
You're swearing at me now, Ed.
Yeah. I will never, ever have a goddamn Android phone.
That's because you're a boomer.
Yeah, well, iPhones are very easy to use. Androids are horrible to use.
Exactly. That's why you have one.
Because
they're made for people like you.
iPhone all the way.
iPhone all the way, he says.
That's why he likes old cars. You know, he's not good with the technology. He needs to feel the buttons. He can't use the touch screen. You know, the touch screen.
Hey, iPhone, hello, here it is. Not one button. It's got no buttons on it. It's all touch screen.
Yeah.
Well, what's wrong with this?
Yeah, exactly. Samsung. What's wrong with that?
When you touch the edges, it all does things I don't want.
No, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
They will never know how superior us Android users actually are.
Hang on, how many Androids have we got here? You got Tyrone Android, you got Matt Android, you got Scotty Android, You got Alex Android.
That's it. And only two iPhones.
It's just the boomers who are iPhones.
Very, very good. Look, so you obviously, getting back to Rob before we have all our brawl about Android versus Apple, you haven't sold the Merc, I'm assuming, yet.
No, so I haven't sold the Merc. Taken everything off Marketplace. I've had enough of it. I just need a rest.
I get it. I totally get that, Rob.
And I'll refocus maybe in summertime. And if I want to sell anything, I'll try to do a lot more presentation with photos and make it look like it's, you know, really value for money. I think you need to really present it. If you just take photos and things like that, these are with wheels and tires I'm getting at. So I'll shine them up, polish them, put them in a good location. Like I even took photos of the offsets. Well, what's the offset? Have a look at the photos, mate.
Yeah.
Oh, people don't read. I think they can't read, a lot of them.
Okay.
I think your literacy is really high, but I would list everything in the ad exactly the same, and then I'll ask you, and I'm like, did you read the ad? One guy said, yeah, I read it. And I'm like, well, you've answered your own question. I wrote that back. Like, it's clearly there, clear as day.
Absolutely. So I've just had enough of that, but I've since put one of my cars on car sales.
Which one?
My Jimny.
No.
Yeah.
Why?
Why? Well, an opportunity might be coming my way.
Ooh, oh, okay. Oh, Lord, won't you buy me another Mercedes Benz?
Maybach. Yes.
No. It's a G-Wagon. G-Wagon.
A G-Wagon?
G-Wagon.
But the Jimny is a G-Wagon. But
it's a mini G.
It's a mini reliable G-Wagon. That's the one you want.
This is a G-Wagon.
You don't want a GG. No. What are you doing? Kardashian, what are you doing with that?
I do. Harley and I both want a G-Wagon. But the reason why we want this G-Wagon is the guy actually took it to Zagami's to trade it in for his brand new Stelvio, Alfa Romeo, whatever he's buying at Zagami's.
Jeez, I wouldn't buy one of them.
Yeah.
Well, he's got a lot of money. He's got a lot of money. So he wanted to trade it. He doesn't want to be mucking around in car sales or whatever. They only offered him. It's a 2019.
Yeah, we've lost him again.
Come back, Rob. I want to know the price. How much? He's giving us a How much is him?
Leave this on a cliffhanger.
Until next episode.
Until next episode, you'll find out.
To be continued.
And he was only offered.
There you go.
It's back.
How much was he offered?
He left us on a cliffhanger.
80.
80,000.
Okay. Hang on. A 2019. Aren't those things worth like 280 or 300 new?
Yep.
Jesus.
Is that a 63?
It's a 63.
Whoa. G63, yeah.
That's stupidly low, isn't it?
That's what they offered him as trade. He goes, I'm not going to bother giving it to him, not for that money. I'd rather sell it to one of my mates. And my mate goes, look, I'm going to try getting the money together to buy it. If I can't, do you want it? I go, absolutely.
Yeah.
And how much can you get it
for? How many Ks are on it?
It's $80,000 and it's got 42,000-43,000 kilometers on it.
Jeez, that's good Ks.
Yeah,
that's good
Ks, yeah.
Very good Ks.
Yeah.
So how much can you get for him? 90? 95? 85? What does he want?
80.
Oh, he wants 80. Oh, doesn't want
okay.
He's happy to take 80.
Wow.
He just doesn't want to give it to the dealer.
Hold out your hand. Hold out your hand.
Yeah, you have that.
Yeah.
How much do you want for the Jimny?
I'll take 38 for it.
And what color is it again?
Gray.
Gray. Jimny in an auto.
Yeah.
How many Ks on it?
It's got 3.5, maybe just under 4.
Yeah, okay, like Ks.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, I paid 34.6 for it.
Yeah.
Got the windows tinted.
Yeah.
I put the Toyo tires on it, which the dealers normally put on them.
Yeah.
Slightly bigger Toyos. I've got the ARB side steps put on it.
Yeah.
I've got a Cobra roof rack put on it. Then on top of that, what else do I do? Oh, I spent close to $2,000 on the sound system upgrade.
Yeah.
So sound system upgrade on it, interior console, rubber floor mats, pockets in the door handles where you can put your phone so it won't fall through.
Yeah.
Yep.
So got all these little bits and pieces for it just to make it my car and make it usable and comfortable, because the cup holders are crap in it.
Yeah.
But apart from that, yeah, it's pretty much got everything ready to go.
It's got your name on it.
No more to spend.
It's not, I like it, but it's not my Jimny, that one, no.
No, I know. I understand. I like it. And you'll get a bargain. I know you. You'll get a bargain somewhere, and it will be your Jimny.
I think the day I buy a Jimny will be when they're maybe 15 years old.
Yeah, yeah.
And I can get one for 11, you know. Yeah. That'll be my sort of time.
Yeah, it's a lot of money for a little car and for what it does. You know, I was thinking about it. In comparison, Jimny's novel, it's fun, it's great to drive. It's not much better on a field than my LDV was. It's not as practical as my LDV was. and basically, the LDV was a lot more useful with the roof racks, roof bars, rooftop tents, and it just drove better. It didn't get blown around in the wind. And guess what? Even better consumption.
Well,
are you trying to sell this Jimny? I said, are you trying to sell this Jimny?
No, look, I'm just being honest. I mean, people who want Jimnys, they love Jimnys.
Yeah.
After having a Jimny, it's great. It feels good. It's novel. And everyone waves when you see another Jimny and it's, you know, whoa, brings back memories and all that sort of stuff. But I think they might be overrated.
There you go. Wow. You heard it here first.
Great city car great off-road, but the in-between bit between the city and the getting to the off-road, not amazing on the highway and stuff.
It's not really. We got blown around all the way to Warrnambool. We were a weekend away and blown all the way. On the way back, we got a tailwind. It was pretty good.
Save some fuel.
yeah, it was blowing the brick, you know, north. So instead of, you know, hitting a brick wall. But, it was good. Look, I still want to take it off-road. I want to have a bit of fun with it. If I don't sell it, I want to try to use it. But if I sell it, I'm getting, hopefully get a G-Wagon. If not, then I'm going to be left without a Jimny, which I'll be upset with. Because good thing is that I'm picking up my Transit van on Friday.
Hey, it's here.
This is the camper conversion van. That's that one.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, nice.
Nice.
So, it's disappointing that Ford don't have a more dedicated van for conversions like Mercedes have, where they already have the swivel chairs as part of the package. They have bigger batteries, bigger alternators. They have a couple of extra features for the bus or for the camper van pack with the different, I think the flooring's a little bit different, whereas the Transit van is a van. It's just So
post his van.
Well, I might have to do some Amazon deliveries to pay for it.
That's it.
So that's coming potentially a G Wagon. Is it a high chance here? I mean, is Harley still selling a C63 or?
He's taken it off the market for the moment. It's just that I think it's not the right time. He's not clocking up the Ks because he's driving my Jimny. so he's sort of not really fussed if he sells it or not. We don't need the money in that respect, but we do need the money if we want to buy the G-Wagon. And I think if Harley's thinking that the G-Wagon's not the update, it might have been a transition between 2018 and 2019, where it had the old E-Class dash to the new E-Class dash in it. And there's about $80,000 to $100,000 difference between a 2019 and a 2018.
Okay.
Yeah, so you're looking at 200 instead of 300,000 for the car. But even a 2018 at $200,000, it's still good value.
Absolutely.
What they're asking for. So I'm thinking the G-Wagon, I might even do a quick flip. If I can drive it for a little bit and sell for 120, I'll sell it.
Yeah, make some money on it.
Yeah. So that's what we're looking at. And look, for us, if we've had a car for a year or two, that's a long time.
That's
true.
Yeah, so that's good. That's about it.
Scotty.
nothing too overly exciting. Just, you know, washing both cars and cleaning interiors and things like that. That's about it. I made a Hot Wheels purchase.
Ooh, okay.
Ooh, what model?
This one.
That's a cool truck.
It's a truck with an S13.
Oh, coming out the back. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's yep cool.
So that was like pretty that cool. Yeah, that's cool. That. So this is a pretty cool set. Oh, and then I was digging around and I found these, if you remember this. Of course you'd remember this magazine.
Yeah.
All the playing cards. Yeah. I still got all the playing cards.
Yeah.
I noticed awesome there's probably more of
yeah
that
yeah
compared to this. Yeah. When I'm sifting through, there's quite a lot.
Yeah, I've actually got that exact deck of cards. Got, yeah, I know exactly what you're yeah talking about.
Yeah, but there's a few good cards in there.
There is.
Yeah, it's pretty old, and I've still got it kicking around. That's it. I haven't done anything else car wise other than that. Polishing them up. Yeah.
Me?
Yes.
I've done nothing. No, what have I done? Where did we get to last time? Okay. Did I tell you I sold the Berliner? Did I tell you that?
You did.
Yep.
Yeah. And just back to Rob's point on that, put it on car sales. I didn't go anywhere else with that car. I didn't put it on Marketplace, no Gumtree, car sales. So I paid the money. I got two inquiries. They both rang me. They were both normal. They both had an actual conversation about the car. And the first one who came to see it bought it. And the other one said, oh, did it sell? And I said, yep, sorry, it's gone. And it was just, oh, no worries. Thanks, mate. It was absolutely delightful. And there are only two people. And that's all you need. You just need one normal, nice, good person, not 130 idiots.
I think so, because that's what they're looking for.
Mm.
You know, yeah, Facebook yeah Marketplace are just looking at anything and they just quickly send some rubbish.
Exactly right. Exactly right. Marketplace is just scrolling and clicking, whereas yeah car sales, Holden Berliner, you've actually got to be sort of searching for all something that specific. Gumtree yeah is a bit the same. Then. You know, you got to be searching for something kind of specific on Gumtree, which is
yeah yeah.
I think that weeds out a lot of the crap. Yeah, definitely. So in terms of cars, what have I done? Did I tell you about Moak Service Day? Did I tell you about that? I think I did last week.
Yeah,
did
you
I
did. You did. Yeah, you did. You did.
Yeah. Oh, Rob was this. I went to Moak Service Day. Yeah, that was good. What else have I done since then? I'm driving around in my friend's Hyundai i30, that one I mentioned that I'm sort of helping her get ready for sale. It had when they got it, someone had swapped the driver's seat to a Hyundai Veloster front leather seat. So the interior is cloth in this i30, but it had an electrically controlled leather driver's seat. And that's I said, weird. Yeah, the previous owner did it, but it came with the original seat and the other leather Veloster seat, so you could have a front pair. So Kathy, who owns it, so said, "Oh, it needs the other seat put in it." And I said, "No, but then there's two leather seats in the front and it's cloth in the back." And no. Where's the standard seat? I've got to put it back to standard. And she said, "Yeah, it's in my garage." So she brought that up to town, and I fitted that last night. I think it was. So I did it outside my friend's house, just unbolted the leather one, undid the wires, put in the cloth one back again. Yep, good, back to standard, ready for sale. And then I went to drive it home and I was in the dark and I went to click in my seatbelt and there's no bloody buckle. You know, someone's taken the buckle off the side of the seat. So I was like, oh, that's not good. I was lying in bed last night thinking, I'm going to have to find another driver's seat, blah, blah, blah. And then I went, hang on, maybe they've swapped the buckle off the original seat onto the Veloster seat because the Veloster buckle was different. Sure enough, that's what they'd done. And thankfully, I took photos of the Veloster seats. So I went there this morning on the way to work with the seatbelt clipped into the passenger side one. So I had some protection. And then just unbolted it all again, put the buckle back on, did the pyrotechnic-y wiry bit, boom, done. Put it all back in and continued on my merry way to work. So I was like, right, that solves that problem. But then I've got these two black Veloster seats that need a home, you know. And ironically, about 3 days ago or 4 days, end of last week, I think it was, when I was at work, there was a Veloster parked right outside the office. And as I walked past to get the morning, you know, coffee run, I looked in and saw the driver's seat was leather and it was all like torn and hacked up. Mm. And I went, Veloster. And then I went, damaged driver's seat. And then I went, hang on a minute, I've got a pair of those sitting somewhere. So I left a note on the windscreen and the guy actually contacted me. He goes, oh, thanks so much, you know, because I said you can have them. I got two black Veloster seats. He goes, is it covers or is it the whole actual seat? I'm like, no, it's the seats. Like, bolt them in. Just bolt them in and it fixes your problem and you can have them. Wow. So I sent him photos today. I haven't heard back from him, but who knows? Hopefully that's an easy way to someone to come and get them.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah. And I've also got four standard wheels because that car's got Veloster alloys on it, which is sort of charcoal gray and actually look quite good, as I said, I think last week. But I've got four standard steelies with hubcaps. And it's like, oh, God, who's going to want those? I think they'll end up at the tip.
Yep.
What are you doing?
Well, no. Scrap metal place. You get some money for it.
Well, scrap metal. And they take tires on rims?
They'll take less for it, but they do.
Yeah, right. Because they've got to pull them off, I suppose. Yeah, okay. I'll ask him about that. So other than that, that's Hyundai. I'm driving around in that. The Prado, I've been getting around the Prado a bit before that. Everyone likes the Prado. You know, everyone gets in the Prado, says, oh, this is a good truck. I'm like, it is a good truck. So my brother's apparently in it for the week because his wife's car needs some suspension work on her edge. Because he put a steel bull bar on it, one of those cool color-coded ARB bars, which looks fantastic, but he didn't replace the shocks and the springs at the same time. So then that chewed out the front shocks, and then he had them all replaced. And now it's sort of – something's out of whack because it's really wearing the inside or the outside of the left rear tire. You know, something's not right with it. So – and on those, apparently, you know, because they're monocoque and subframe and – suspension arms and things, you know, that's sort of got to be right. You know, you got to keep them right and they can go out of whack. Anyway, so Harkon, your mate, Maddie, currently has my sister-in-law, my sister-in-law's Padge to sort that out. And I said to my brother, well, you can jump in the Prado for a week. And he texted me, he goes, I don't know what it is about this, Ed, but I really like this. So... it's not that it's better than the Padge. It's just that it's just that they did it well back then, Toyota.
I think that car's staying around, Edward. I don't think that's going
anywhere. Well, it's staying until next year, and then it's going to go.
So our good friend Reed has got the Padge.
Reed has got the. I rang him the other day, and he just goes, "Yeah, hey man." And I said, "Geez, Reed, you don't sound very good. What's that? What? Not a hey Ed, how you going? I haven't heard from you in ages." He's like, "Hey man." And I go, well, what's wrong? And he goes, oh, just this doing this job. It's just killing me. He wasn't happy with it or something. Something he was working on.
Is it something else or was it the Padge?
No, it wasn't the Padge. No, this was before something else. Anyway. So, Prado's doing that. Oh, what else? Actually, my Padge hasn't been driven in ages. So on the weekend, it's where it's stored. I was down at that house and I did just take it out for a little run just to dinner and back. I thought, just, you know, keep the oils lubricating and whatever, doing what they're doing. It's definitely a more modern car to drive than the Prado, but there's 10 years difference between them. So, you know, the Padge is sort of fatter steering wheel and a bit wider and just quieter and more grunty. And you can tell it's a newer car, but yeah, that old school Toyota Tough is hard to beat for certain applications.
Absolutely.
That's it. No more.
Alex, anything on your end?
All my cars work for once, which is strange. Yes. Got the M6 back from the mechanic. First mechanic I've actually, I can say, did a fantastic job, did everything I wanted. So one of Ed's recommendations. So I do have him to thank for that.
Wow.
Yes. So that's all going well, which is good. C30 hasn't had a working boot in 3 years. I finally fixed that, which is a bit of a breakthrough.
There's two things, right? When I get in Alex's car, there's two things that give me the shits. Number one, it's not a big car, the C30 hatch, right? So you need all the space you can get. The boot has never been able to be opened from the outside. So every time Alex wants to open the boot, he crawls through like some sort of, you know, Egyptian pyramid tunnel dweller to the and releases the hatch thing. The second thing is because it's always getting worked on, the passenger footwell is always full of tools. It's either got oil, spanner, I don't know, compression tester, like a torque wrench. And I said to him one day, open the door, I just said, oh, God, one day I would just love to just open the door on this car and get in unencumbered by tools. And he's like, no, it's never got tools in it. No. And I'm like, no, it does. So every time I see tools, I point it out. So on the weekend, I got a video last weekend of a boot that opened from the outside. And I got a snapshot of the clean mat in the well. And I was like, wow, this is a miracle.
Yes. I've got a mate who doesn't look after his cars, and he said, I washed my car the other day, and I said, why are you going out on a date or something? You know, actually,
what's happened?
Wash your car. Like, you never wash your car.
What's changed?
Nothing, apparently. Just decided to wash his car. Immaculate. Don't know.
I knew someone that I used to work with, and his wife would wash her car once a year. So sort of somewhere around Christmas holidays, she had a bit of time off, and she would give the car a really good scrubbing, and then the rest of the year, nothing.
Ugh.
And I've got to say, because my brother ended up buying that car as his first car, it was an old Pulsar, it actually presented really well. And I thought, gosh, maybe there's something in this. Maybe you should just wash it once a year.
Maybe it's the dirt. Maybe it's the dirt that protected the rest of the car.
I don't know.
Yeah, well, it's good to hear all your cars are working, Alex.
Yeah, it's a rare occurrence. So we'll hold on to that for as long as it lasts.
Yep.
Yeah, the M6 has probably got a warning light on, though.
No, there's no warning.
No, boom. What about the LED fog light?
Well, that's an exception.
Yeah, no, see, it's still a bing, though.
Yeah, but
it's
still a
bing. Yeah, but it's still a bing. It's still binging at you that something's not right.
Well, it is right.
No.
All right.
Nothing on my end. Just haven't done anything. Just driving it. That's all. Just driving it, enjoying it, and that's it.
Oh, that's good to hear. On my end, I went away on the weekend. I'm going away this weekend again, but I noticed as I hopped out of my car, there was like a stain on my car. On the,
which car?
Laser. Yeah, I sure should be more specify. There's a stain on the floor mat, and I'm like, but it looks like droplets, and I put my finger on it, I'm like, that feels like brake fluid. Then I look underneath, and it's the clutch master cylinder's leaking, and I'm like, ah, fun. So I priced up a new one. Turns out you cannot get one in Australia, so I'm like, great, but you can buy the rebuild kit. So I ordered a rebuild kit, picked it up, and put that, gave that to my mechanic. He's like, I'm like, I don't know how to rebuild one of these, so he's taking it out, going to rebuild it. Pop it back in, and I should have that back by Friday. So I've been driving the MR2 the last couple of days. I've been enjoying the old MR2. Gets a lot of love, that car. It's people just look at it and like don't even know what it is. They think it's some weird 80s nugget, which it is. So that's been fun driving that around. But that's been pretty much it on my end. So yeah, Laser got to get that fixed, which is getting done at the moment.
Shouldn't drop the clutch too hard.
Oh man, it's just too much wheel spin. But I'm just trying to think what else I've done on my end of cars. I think that's pretty much it. Yeah, moving on to tonight's topic, gentlemen. So cars that are good for people, I think, are small cars. I think small cars work. I think they fit in tight spaces. They're easy to park. They're easy on fuel. They're especially under 20 grand, you don't really care about it too much. Like, not like a $80,000 G-Wagon, Rob. so you're gonna actually just kind of just use it and be fine with it. But it got me thinking, because obviously my friend's transmission's blown in her 2012 Corolla. No, 2011 Corolla it is. And she's pretty upset about it. She's like, suddenly got low K's and, one owner. She's like, I'm like, well, one, that wasn't the best era of Corolla, but two, what things could you get for under 20 grand that, like, small cars like that are reliable, good, that, on the used market, obviously, and that you can still fit a baby seat in, like, just what she's using it for. And I got me thinking that there isn't really much, but then there is a lot in the same instance. Like, for example, the later Corollas are a lot better, and Mazda 3s, etc. But I wanted to get your guys' opinion on where would you spend your 20 grand or under. So it could be 10 grand, but I don't want to make it like too cheap. So I want to say about 10 to 20 grand in between that price range. Of car that you can that you can say, yep, that's a good quality buy for under 20,000.
Does it have to be like an SUV or can it be whatever?
Just a small car.
How small?
My if someone came to me with that dilemma, I would say
XR6 turbo.
And they weren't wrong with it. And they weren't obsessed, you know, with being European. I would say don't. I would say stick to Korean and Japanese between 10 and 20, and you can't go too far wrong, you know, and maybe up to 8 years old or something.
Yeah.
That's the thing. You go any older than 7 or 8 years old, you could be buying problems. So wouldn't you go brand as new as you can that still has a warranty? So you buy as the newest car possible for that price range. So whether it be a Hyundai, is it a Kia Picanto? Is it a Hyundai?
Picanto, yeah. 7 year warranty.
Yeah. 7 year warranty. So you buy one that's 2 years old, you've still got 5 years.
Yeah.
You should be able to find one under 20,000 quite easily.
You can. Yeah, you can.
In that price bracket, you're getting into something that's, you know, like a Honda CRV that's only, you know, 7, 8 years old maybe. I mean, there are cars that... to your point, Rob, I'm less worried about Japanese and Korean with a bit more age on them than I am a Euro. You know, like for example, a Honda Accord Euro with 80,000 K on it that was 15 years old, I'd be totally on board with that car, even though it's well past warranty. But yeah, I think given that budget, you're not playing in the total shallow end of the pool. You've got some means to get something a bit newer.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
I'm not talking about enthusiast cars. I'm talking about just transport, you know.
Yeah,
just...
yeah. And that's what I'm talking about here. Like, I was... Another reason why I'm bringing this up is because, like, I saw on Reddit today, like, a guy put in, should I go for an older XR6 Turbo, like an FG series, or should I go for an F... I think it was an F80 series 330i, you know. And and virtually everyone was like, get the older XR6 Turbo. Yeah. Like, 99% of the comments were that they're like, they're like, look, one guy was like, yeah, I had the Beamer. It was a money pit. He's like, now I own an XR6 Turbo. I had to laugh. And I'm just like, it just, you know, and they're not that old, those F80 series. I mean, yeah, you would have sold them, Edward, like, you know, back.
The F80s, yeah, I did. Yes. Like, when did they come out?
2012, 2013, I think.
Yeah. No, I definitely sold it. Yep.
Yeah, and you know, it was just interesting for people to, you know, like on a completely different thing that I was just, you know, fooling around with Reddit, and that came up, and I'm like, this is hilarious. Like, it just shows that, and nobody should buy anything European out of warranty, essentially, unless it's like a problem. Yeah,
it's sort of at that stage now because the electronics, mechanically, you know, that they can be okay most of the time, but it's the electronics and stuff and modules and, you know, it's all that stuff that kills you, and they become economical write-offs, you know. It, like, there was a Passat Skoda Superb I saw advertised yesterday that was $3,000, you know, it was quite cheap, and I thought, God, that's cheap, and not that I'm thinking about buying a Volkswagen product at all, but I just clicked on it to have a glance, and it said, oh, ABS still works, but the module needs replacing or something, and I thought, if I rang up round and tried to price that module, it's probably a $2,000 module, you know, it takes a $3,000 car to a $5,000 car, and that's where you just, it's all that stuff that kills you.
Yeah, I just think, you know, people, especially with badges, you as they are, they want to buy, you know, your flashy car for the money. But at the end of the day, you know, if you just have to transport and you don't really care what you have, I always say Japanese or you know, you're right, Korean. Because
the newer Korean stuff is
generally good.
Sorry to say that, but aren't some of the European cars now Japanese cars anyway? Yeah, Renaults are all Nissans, aren't they?
Yeah, Renault, Nissan, Mitsubishi are all sort of in bed together.
So you can stretch it out to a European car, maybe?
For some, yeah. Like, I know, what was it, the Peugeot? One of the Peugeot SUVs was the same as a Mitsubishi ASX was the same as a Peugeot or an Outlander? Some one of them was the same, and I thought, yeah, based on that, you could do it if the platform was known. It's not too crazy.
I mean, having said that, like, you know, Alex's C30, that's Mazda 3, that's Ford Focus. Like that's
yeah, and those are a tough car, but then you're getting into that enthusiast world and you know, your mate doesn't want to play in that world. You just want something that just works when you turn the key. So I think anything Japanese or or Korean for between 10 and 20, and you really couldn't go too far wrong. I mean, even a Mitsubishi ASX, like, it's a pretty shit car. Like, none of us really like it. It's boring as hell, but it's reliable. It's, you know, it'll do what you want.
I've got a friend that just bought a Outlander plug-in hybrid. Brand new. She just bought a brand new, and she's getting it through like a salary sacrifice, you know, thing through work. So she doesn't pay FBT or all that stuff. Anyway, like, I had a look. It's a pretty underwhelming interior. Like, it's a pretty boring car. Very plain inside. Like, you don't get much in it. But she's like, I get a 10-year warranty, and I'm happy. And it's going to cost me virtually nothing on fuel. I think she hasn't even put a full tank of fuel in it yet, because she just keeps charging it around, and she's happy. You know, and for a lot of people, that's all it takes. So they just want something that's reliable. Like she's coming out of a Mitsubishi Lancer from 99. So, and that was her first car, which she's had to, she's my age, and she's had that car for years. And it was falling to bits. Her mechanic's like, you need to move it on. It's pretty much on its last legs. So she's like, oh, well, I may as well buy another Mitsubishi and get 10 years warranty, you know? And so I can see why people just sometimes just want forms of transport. So it got me thinking again for this, what could you get for that 10 to 20 smallish car? Nothing too big, reliable, that'll be fine. And Rob, I think you're right on the money there with you know, the Picanto. They're quite roomy inside, and you're still getting, if you get one that's 2 years old, 5 years warranty.
It's quite a little car though too. I'd go something like a Swift, because I've always liked the Swift in the styling, and you'd still get a pretty fresh one for you know, nudging 20.
And again, I know, maybe even a Corolla again. I know she had bad luck with the transmission, but a newer Corolla.
I think that's a bit of an anomaly, because, you know, I can't fathom that those Corollas are bad. You know, they just
weren't the best built ones. Like they felt like a cheap car. They didn't feel as nice as an i30 of their
07, you said, yeah?
No, it's an 11.
11, okay.
It's the last of that bubbly round.
Yeah. They weren't. That wasn't the best one they did, that's for sure.
Yeah.
They go CVT in the later ones.
The later ones went CVT. So the one you had was a CVT, right? Mm. Tyrone, yeah.
Yeah.
That was a later one.
Yeah.
2013.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, She was like, I love my Corolla. She's like, I had no issues with it until this year. I had to do radiator, I had to do this, that. Like, she probably spent $6,000 to $8,000 on it, like, in just repairs.
Oh, that's a lot.
And
she bought a brand new.
She bought a brand new, and it's only done 164,000 Ks. And she's like, now I'm up for either a trans rebuild or just a, you know, just try find a second handy. I like try get a good second handy. So that's what I think Rutten's gonna try put in there for her. But yeah, Corolla. For me, it was always Mazda 3. I think a Mazda 3 from, you know, 2010 onwards was a very good car. They hold their value quite well. I mean, I don't like the current shape, because I just think it's just horrendously bad to drive. Well, not bad to drive, but like blind spots and everything. It's not a really nice car to drive in that instance, but good dynamically, but just really not the nicest one to sit in. So I'd say one of those, definitely. i30s, provided it has had the recall done for the engine. Absolutely. That's
what's that recall?
Well, you know all about that, Tyrone. The 2 liter. Yeah, the two.
Yeah.
There's a class action.
Yeah. It's for Kia and
Kia and Hyundai. Yeah. They're 2 liter, 2.4, and I think the 1.2.
What is it? Diesel, petrol? What is it?
Petrol.
So the block.
It's the block that they made was not machined properly.
Mm-hmm.
And was causing, and then obviously, yeah, after a certain amount of obviously wear and tear, and start knocking sounds coming out of the engine. So
bottom end bearings.
Yeah,
What era is those
i30s? 2010 onwards.
Yeah. 2010 to like, I think it was like 14 or 15.
But it doesn't just cover. It covers i30. Covers Kia Rio. Covers Sportage, Optima, like everything that had those engines.
What about Elantra?
I'm not too sure, but like it might have had that too late, but all of them from that era are now having these massive issues, and there's a class action in America and
is there one here or just in America?
They're trying to get it happening here. Yeah. And
my cousin just recently got his Kia Optima Platinum done, so they were.
How many cases do they have?
Got like 150, 160.
And it's got a brand new engine now.
Yeah. 160. And then, he obviously driving it one day down because he lives up in Geelong. So came down and then he started to hear the sound, and it was knocking sound is looking around for secondhand engine because obviously he bought that car secondhand. Okay. So, and then he was looking around, and then I was also helping him around, and then I stumbled across this recall in the engine, and on the Australian government website, and I put his VIN number in, and came up with his VIN number on the sheet. So told him, I go, don't worry about looking for a second hand. I go, I don't think the recall's been done on it because there's no sticker, nothing mentioned on the car. So I said, call up the guy that you bought the car off and ask him if he did it as well. He goes, no, I've never done it either. So I said, just call up Kia and just tell them that there's a recall happening on it. Obviously Kia as a car company tried left and right to not do it.
But if it's on the recall, you can't argue with that.
The best answer that he got from one of the guys at the dealership was like, he goes, they must have done it when he brought it in for service. I go, so you're telling me within one day,
you brought a new motor in?
within one day they've changed the motor, they've serviced the car, and they've not told the guy that they've done a recall on it. I told him, just tell the guy to stop talking and just take the car in and do it. That's it. And so he ran, he dropped the car off there, and then he called up Kia head office in Sydney and told him, and then they wanted him to actually pay for the diagnosis to see if it was the actual engine. He called up the head office and you don't have to pay anything for it. And then on top of that, they were supposed to give him a rental, but they didn't have any rentals. So they told him to just go hire out a car, and then they reimbursed him for the amount. So cameras were like, on top of that, was like, because that took like, I think about 2 weeks to get the car done because the engine had to be imported. So it cost, it came up to like $4,000 for the rental. So they had to pay for that as well.
You hire a Porsche.
What was that, Rob?
You hire a Porsche.
Yeah, no, it was just a Hyundai i30. Exactly.
Another one.
Yeah, and yeah, it was obviously a newer one, but yeah, it was just, I don't know, because he's on green peas, so the hiring companies they bump up the price, but I said, look, I can get you whatever car you want, man. Go get a Ferrari if you want, they're paying for it, who cares.
Hey, my sister's got a 2018 or 19, you know, that newer shape by 30. Mm. Those aren't affected, seemingly.
It might be.
Just look it up on the
website. It's a 2 litre.
Yeah, because all the 2 litres and 2.4s, I think from up to 2020 or something, they're all been affected.
I was actually reading a forum from America that they put it on, and it was about the same issue. The guy had actually changed. This was the third engine that he changed.
Well,
so this was at the time when they were when they just found out.
Yeah.
Because I saw the date was around about 2013. So this is when they actually first found that out, and then they went in, they replaced it, this is the third time that he actually replaced the engine.
Well,
yeah.
I'm doing it live. I'm putting I'm checking the VIN live.
Stinger motor, straight in it.
Oh yeah,
it's funny you guys are saying that, because like I work with a lady, and she's a really lovely lady, and she's got a Kia Rondo, and she's like, it's making knocking noises, and I'm like, and I said to her, what engine does it have? And she's like, it's got the 2 liter, and I searched the VIN, her car's in the recall, and I'm like, there's a class action for it. I'm like, she's like, is it using oil? She's like, it's using oil like crazy, and I'm like, apparently that's one of the signs, they just burn oil.
So, but
Kia keeps saying to her, oh, you know, we're not, you know, it's fine. There's nothing wrong with it. It's fine. There's nothing wrong. She's like, I know when my car's making a loud noise. And she's like, it makes me not want to drive it.
Mm.
So, which is interesting, because here's another story that I got to tell you. Now, this is just the lady telling me, but I don't know how true this bit is. But I was working at Supercheap, and the lady comes in, and she's like to me, she's like, basically, oh, you know, I've got, I like to get a light globe for my car. So I go out and have a look. I'm like, oh, you got a HID. We don't have them in stock. We'd have to order them. She's like, that's all right. And she had a 2016, 17 or 18 Sportage. And basically she was like, it's been a good car, but I mean, now it's been a good car. I'm like, what do you mean now? She's like, look, I bought it brand new. And I'm not going to mention the dealership or anything here, but she's like, I bought a brand new. And talk about bad experiences. What this lady went through was just hell. Anyway, She bought this car brand new, and I think within 20,000 Ks, the engine blew up. You know, it completely died. Takes it back, and they, you know, it was a bit of an argument. Oh, yeah, it needs a new engine, or we've got to rebuild it, you know, do all this stuff. And she's like, well, yeah, it's under warranty, do it. Anyway, time goes past. She hasn't had a car for like 6 months at this point, I think she was saying. And, you know, she goes and she's like, where's my car? And they're like, oh, look, we haven't done it yet. We're still waiting on parts. Anyway, the dealer manager goes to her, look, hun, if you give me $500 cash under the table, I'll get it done for you faster.
What?
Yeah.
Jeez. Yeah.
And she's like, I somehow had my recording device magically turned on at that point. And basically he got the ass real quick when she went to the head office. But basically, She still had to wait. They had a car for a grand total of 18 months, I think she said to
oh
me.
Oh, my God.
But this is the kicker, right? It blew up with 20,000. She gets it back with 30,000 Ks on it. She saw people driving it. They were using it. They were using E-Tag on it. And she's like, what do you... She's like, well, you put 10,000 Ks on my car. They're like, oh, we had to test to make sure it was okay. She's like, I saw it driving on the freeway coming the opposite way to me. So... It was insane what she went through.
What car was that? What sort of car was it?
Yeah, Sportage. The previous gen Sportage. She's like, I was getting toll invoices and stuff, anyway, she ends up going in there and she told me, I'm like, you've got some real, you know, real nerve to do this. She walked into this to said dealership, which I'm not going to mention which one it is, and people are coming in. She's like, ah, you might want to get your car serviced here. You know, I've been waiting 18 months for mine. And then like just all the customers coming in, just ripping into them. And they called the cops on her and the cops come down and they said, look, she's being a nuisance. Well, we need, you know, we can't sell cars, except, you know, et cetera. They ask her, how long have you had a car for? They're like, oh, we've had it for 18 months. And she's like, well, yeah, she's kind of got a point. Can't give her a car back. So they need to kick her out. So she gets her car back, and she's like, I vouch never to take it back there. She has to take it for service at the next place. She gets it back with like an extra 10,000 Ks on there, and she takes it to the next place to another Kia dealership, and that she tells them their experience, and she's like, it was chalk and cheese. They were amazing. I went to pick up my car. They're like, look, this one's on us. We can't believe what you'd went to, because they had read the log on the system of everything that had gone wrong. So they gave her a free service. So she goes to this dealership now, but she had to go back to that dealership because like she couldn't fit her car in for a service. And she's very by the book. And basically she wasn't happy that she had to do it, but the only place that opened. She gets the car back and they're like, oh, this is the price. But we didn't fill your car full of oil because we didn't have enough oil in it, but we're still and we didn't have enough oil left to fill your car. She's like, I'm sorry, what? They're like, yeah, just go to Super Cheap and they'll you buy the oil there because we're actually out of oil. So, and she's like, but you still charge me for the full oil change. Yeah. She's like, no. So she paid like half it. She walked out. She came to Super Cheap. We had to top it up for her. She's like, this is insane. I'll tell you the dealership later, after the show, but,
she's had a bad run.
I'll take it to freaking consumer affairs.
Oh man, it's shocking. Yeah. They put her through the ringer. The fact that another Kia dealership, which is like it wasn't a Kia owned one. It was like a franchise, it was Mentello's that really looked after her. The fact that they took them to look after her and you know gave her a free service and everything, and they couldn't believe what she'd gone through. That's horrible. Like I don't think I've ever heard of anyone have that bad an experience from buying a new car. I mean, Rob, I know you had an experience which we're not allowed to talk about.
there's a few out there.
But have you heard anything that crazy? Like that for me is insane.
Ford had a lot of issues with their Mustangs when they were blowing up motors with the 2018 model. And apparently some guys originally had a lot of hassles, but towards the end there, they'll just replace the entire cars.
Yeah, yeah. Is this here in Australia?
Yeah,
they're blowing up the previous one, isn't it?
Mine's the previous model. So I got the actual cylinder's got a liner, and the new ones are nickel seal. So they're a different process of making the bores, and so there's like a nickel plated or Chrome or whatever, and there's a bit more piston slap in those for expansion and contraction for whatever reason. When they make them, they have to have a larger tolerance, and some of them had too much of a tolerance, so they'll actually blow in motors.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, but they fixed the problem apparently, but there was a problem there for a little while with the new motors. Still a Coyote motor, but built slightly different.
Because the Coyote's pretty bulletproof from what I've heard. Like, it's a pretty good engine.
They are pretty good. I think, you know, typical Ford stuff, you know, oil pump gears.
Yeah.
Prone to break, but I haven't heard anything else on them. Sort of go on them or break on them, but I'm sure there are other problems other than the piston slap and motors blowing up. But otherwise, you know, like touch wood, you know, mine's been fantastic. All the 2016, 17 models have been real good from what I haven't heard anything bad about them. So that's good.
Ed, after working in a dealership, have you heard any story like that? Like, that's that crazy?
Not stuff dragging on for that long. It was always a last resort. You know, they never replaced a car. You know, they always wanted to fix that car because it was more cost effective to do so, I think. But they had, you know, there's a whole specialist team. If the dealership couldn't diagnose it or couldn't get to the bottom of something, you know, there are field experts that, you know, work for head office that it is their job to go around and you know, go through those cases, if you like cold cases or warm cases, I suppose, where, okay, there's a history of this has happened, then we did this, then we did this, then we did this, and it's still doing this. And, you know, they are professional automotive problem solvers who work for the company, and they'll get to the bottom of it and order parts and replace modules and, you know, do all of that. I haven't heard of anything that crazy, you know.
I had a bit of trouble with a certain Chrysler dealership when I had various Chryslers, but at one stage it got real bad when we had a Dodge Journey in the family, and I took it in for a service, and after it coming out of service, it was just overheating all the time. It was perfect beforehand.
Wow.
And I was given enough of the run around to cook the motor. They reckon, no, nothing's wrong with it. You know, it stopped overheating, but it was just a real bad experience with the dealers. In the service department, and they went for a real bad time. I think a lot of Dodge, or Chrysler Jeep dealerships back in the when they're going through that transition, Chrysler to whatever it is, the Fiat group or whatever they are.
Yeah.
There was a lot of troubles there with the actual servicing of the vehicles. And I know another mate of mine worked for a Land Rover dealership. He's told me some real scary stories. You know, wheels not being put back on properly, and almost falling off, and people spilling diesel in the car, and the car smelling like diesel, so they had to replace the entire interior in the car. They had a problem with the fuel sender unit in one of them.
I heard of a Discovery owner years ago getting it done down the road from me, and they didn't refill the transmission with oil after servicing, and so he didn't get too far, and it all seized up, and that was the end of the tranny. And they pulled the drain plug, and no oil in that. That'd be why. So they had to pay for that. So, you know, it does, you know, stuff happens.
Yeah, like it does happen. And I find some of these stories like just insane. Like from what you're like, a friend of mine, he works for Mazda in Essendon, and he's their quality control. So basically, he's a qualified mechanic. He worked for Mazda, and he left, and he worked with his uncle in his uncle's factory. And then he's like, then Mazda hunted him back because he was very good at his job. So he worked for Mercedes as well. He was a Mercedes tech, and then he was a Mazda tech. And so they're like, look, we'll give you more than what your uncle's giving you as a lead mechanic. We don't want you to be on the tools at all. We just want you to be a QC and make sure that all our mechanics are doing the right job, because we're sick of sending cars out that need things. And he's like, you'd be surprised just the dumb things they do. Like they won't put on a washer bottle thing, or they won't even put the radiator cap on properly, or the oil cap, they'll leave it off and it all goes everywhere. And, you know, he's like, how hard can it be? And he'll go in and he'll say, guys, what the hell? You know, but he's like, I get it. They're under the pump. They got to push as many cars in a day as they can. But at the same, it's just, you know, it isn't good.
I know they employed a couple of quality assurance guys at BM Melbourne. I think it was after I'd left, I think. But and their job was literally to go over every car before it went back to the customer. And you just check that what was meant to have been done was done, and do those kind of, you know, basic checks that you're talking about. And I'm sure that you know, caught things in the net before they became customer problems. But it's also how you deal with it. Like my panel beater, who's got nothing to do, he's not an affiliated shop or anything with any brand, but he's ex-BMW and he's very good at just that customer service side of it. So my old discovery that I had, you know, the Disco One, I took it into him to have a bit of paintwork done somewhere. I forget where, or he was painting it black around the windows again, or, you know, just tidying up something. And they had to do a smidgen of welding somewhere, and he accidentally caught the carpet caught fire. This is the brown, you know, it's white disco brown carpet. And then somewhere, because he was welding, it burnt the interior carpet or put this terrible mark on it or something. And rather than telling me about it, because he knows I'm a fussy bastard with my stuff, he searched all around Australia, made phone call on phone until he found a Discovery with brown carpet, like at a wrecker, got the carpet in, fitted it all. I never knew, you know, like I never knew it. And he only admitted it like not that long ago, maybe a couple of months ago. He suddenly came about the Discovery and he said, oh, yeah, that Discovery and, oh, the carpet. And I said, what about the carpet? And he goes, oh, mate, didn't I? He goes, oh, I didn't tear the time, but, you know, this is what, because he knew I was fussy. And I'm like, that's brilliant. You know, for me to not notice that my disco had different brown carpet in it, and I know every mark on those things, you know, like, I thought that was pretty clean carpet. So maybe that's why I didn't notice. But it's, yeah, I thought good customer service, just make it right. And I've recommended so many people to him, and, you know, that's sort of how it should be.
We are also joined by Mr. Alamdeep Singh. How are you, mate?
Singh.
Hello, hello. Happy to be here. Sorry I'm late.
You're in a movie.
Today, yes, I am. I'm in the basement. It's damn cold in here.
It's not good. I walked from my car to the front door, which is about 20 meters, and it was noticeably bitey.
Yeah. And I don't turn the heat on in the basement either, so it stays a bit colder. I think it's easier to just rug up than it is, you know, wasting energy with the heater.
Well, you got an hoodie? Is that what you're wearing?
Yep. Well, for a guy of my size, it's just like a regular hoodie, just a little bit larger.
Love it.
So you've joined us in telling crazy. We've kind of sidetracked from our under $20,000 kind of, you know, good used car to talking about stories from dealerships of just chaos. Scotty, have you had anything like that?
Not really. I guess I've had a couple run-ins here and there, just with some rebuilds and that took way longer than it should, but they were just kind of independent mechanics, nothing to do with dealer mechanics or anything like that. So, pretty good. I do most of the work that I can myself, and the rest of it, I get someone else to do it.
Yeah.
So yeah, when it comes to the dealerships, I don't go to them. We take Ash's car to the Honda dealerships, and there's been no dramas with them. They've been fantastic. She used to take it to the one that used to be in Essendon Fields.
Mm-hmm.
No dramas there. That's where the car originally came from, was bought there. And now we just take it to the one in Epping.
Yeah.
And they've been great. They clean the interior. They wash the car and everything.
See, for me, if I don't get a cap price servicing, I don't bother taking a brand new car to a dealer.
Yeah, no.
As long as you've got a good mechanic and he stamps a book,
that's all you need.
You don't have to worry about it, you know.
Yep, exactly right.
It's like, it's just, even my Ranger, they're like, I took it for its first, you know, that 1,000K inspection. They just leave the car out there. They don't even look at the car, and then they come to you and say, "Oh yeah, everything's all good." So I took it to that, and the guy's like, "Oh yeah, see you for your next service, you know."
No, you won't.
I told the guy, I'm like, "No, I'm not coming back." He's like, "Why not?" I guess, "Don't you want your roadside assistance?" I go, you're gonna make me come back to pay for you to give me $100 roadside assistance and to charge me $600-$700 for a service." Yeah. I'll get my own roadside assistance, don't worry about it.
Yeah,
it's just a waste.
So let's make a list of some cars before we get into the quiz. Suzuki Swift, tick.
Mazda 2, tick.
Yep.
Anything Mazda. XR6 Turbo, tick.
Anything Mazda except a diesel.
Tick.
Tick.
Yeah.
XR6 Turbo, tick.
Tick.
I thought we agreed on small cars, wasn't it?
Small cars, yeah. So
it is a small car.
Oh, yeah. From what you're used to, you're used to driving a bloody semi-trailer. So I was going to say Kia Picanto, tick. Kia Rio.
Corolla as well.
Probably tick. Toyota Corolla, tick.
Mazda MX-5.
Tick.
Tick.
Big tick.
Tick, yep. Yep, solid tick there.
XR5 Turbo.
Yeah, XR5 no. Turbo, if they've been looked after and not modified, tick. Yes.
Yeah.
All right. There's
quite a few out there at the moment.
Honda's
pretty stock and under normal pricing at the moment.
Yep. I would agree with that. Tick. Anything Honda kind of related, would you say tick?
Tick. The i30 I've currently got for sale. Tick.
Tick. Yeah.
After the rebuild.
After the rebuild, yeah.
It's not one of those. It's a diesel. It's good.
I had a buyer for you, Edward, actually.
Really? Who?
It was for his daughter's for her first car.
What kind of drive? Manual?
Doesn't want a manual.
Yeah. That's going to be the toughie on this car, the manual.
And I'm like, it's the perfect car, low Ks, one owner, et cetera, et cetera. I was selling it. He's like, it's not a manual, is it? I'm like, it is. I'm like, yeah, you beat me to it. It's me. He just bought a manual 2015 or 16 Corolla sedan for her to learn in, and she's hating it. She's like, I don't like it. And
they got that stamina, these kids. They won't sort of stick with it.
So he's like, I'm enjoying driving a manual again. So he came out of a 2001 Challenger V6 that was just falling apart to this. He's like, I feel like a modern man. But yeah, but I almost had someone on the hook for you, Edward.
I'll keep trying.
What else would you say good value, reliable for under 20, around 10?
Subaru, you get some okay stuff from Subaru.
You got to be careful with the Subaru stuff though, because they did have they had an engine recall on a certain batch of them as well. They were just used oils like crazy. So there was like a certain couple years where their engine
Some Subaru,
yes. So early XVs don't, because don't. Later Forests and stuff, yeah, pretty good.
You the old Yaris.
Yaris is good. Tick.
Toyota.
Tick.
I was going to say just buy Toyota, but she did that. Now she's got issues with it.
Havel, under 20 grand.
Havel's under 20 grand. Tick. Havel, if you're listening, we're still waiting for that sponsorship. Don't buy a Ford Focus or Fiesta or Ego Sport with the
power shit transmission.
Do not do that. If you buy a manual, yeah, tick, sure. Because it's very closely related to the Mazda stuff. So, yeah. So, but apart from that, don't touch those. What else could we look at? I think that's a pretty, pretty good kind of.
Yeah. Let us know what she ends up with.
Yeah, we'll do. We'll do. She's liking Forester, so she wants to buy a Forester, she said. But we'll
let's make sure she gets the right one.
I have to make sure.
The Pulsars are not too bad.
I've heard those ones aren't bad. The comeback Pulsars. Yeah, I heard they were okay.
Yeah. So I've heard, they're pretty good, reliable. I haven't really heard much dramas about them. They're just doing their thing, fairly reliable. So
did I tell you I found a Kia Optima, the same model as my cousin's, and the guy who mentioned on Facebook Marketplace that the engine was gone?
Yeah, you did, yeah.
He was selling it for like $5,000. I was going to, and I looked up his VIN number, and it was on the list. It was on the list there as well. So I was like, I was going to tell the guy, look, I'll give you $3,000 for it and take it to Kia, get them to do the engine and flog it off for like $12,000 or $13,000. it had like probably about 120 Ks.
Nothing. All right, gentlemen, you ready for the quiz?
Yep. All right.
We still run the rules of particularly Ed. You only get about 15 seconds to answer or something.
Oh, I'm so glad you've turned up, Alan.
Hey, but Alan only gets to answer the last half of the quiz because it came halfway through the quiz.
Yeah, you can only answer the last five questions.
Yeah,
I'll still win though.
That's all right. Alan,
I feel victimized about this.
You read it from the start, Alan. 10 questions plus a bonus question. Let's get into it. Question one. Which version of MG's latest car is set to get a hot hatch version? So which of the latest MG offerings is set to get a hot hatch version? I know, thrilling stuff, MG. Whew.
Don't know much about
Alan?
Alan, got in there, yep.
So you said it's going to get a hot hatch version?
Correct, yep.
Is that like the MG3 or?
Incorrect. Rob, you were next, I believe. I heard you, Rob.
Rob, MG4, isn't there a 4 coming out?
MG4, correct. Well done, Rob. They're bringing out a hot hatch. They reckon it's going to be a game changer, but I don't know if that's a
game changer.
That's what they said.
Car company hasn't said that.
Yeah, I've seen the electric version of it. It does look good.
It does look good, actually. It's a good looking car. I did like it, actually. Question two.
From, look at this bullshit. I'm not even on the list. You know, they haven't even put me on the list there.
Low expectations, Tyrone. Low expectations.
I'm going to be with a notepad. That's bad. Question two. How will you be able to distinguish a standard GR86 to a 10th anniversary GR86?
Ed. Just going to wait a bit to piss Alan off.
All right, you've got 10 seconds, Ed.
Is it a badge?
Well, there is a yes. There, I'll give you.
There you go. That's correct. It's a badge.
I'll give you point five. It's not the answer I'm looking for. I'll give you point five, Alan.
I believe it's going to have a unique paint color, and
it is going to have a unique paint color. I'll give you 0.5 for that, Alan. And what was the other thing you said?
Some trim.
So interior is the interior trim is matched to the exterior paint. Correct. Well done.
Yeah, really nice, Alan. Really nice and quick too.
What? That's not even like different. It. Not even different wheels.
As far as I can see, they're just painting the car different.
You should appreciate that paint, and that paint will probably flake as well.
Question three. What new variant of the Nissan Z has been announced?
Alan. The Nismo.
The Nismo is correct, Alan. What? It's the car, apparently, it should have been all the whole time.
Does it come with any extra power, or is it just a bunch of like bits and bobs on it?
They haven't announced it yet. They've just kind of shown little bits and pieces.
Look, it's all Nismo do now. It's just little bits and bobs and maybe a bit more power. That's what they did with the Skyline, but only Japan's getting it.
Yeah.
My version. It's just a couple little trims that are colored in red now and just a little power boost, and that's it.
And a Nismo badge.
Yeah, Nismo badge everywhere.
Question four. What engine did we not receive in Australia for the second generation Toyota MR2?
Ed. Was it the supercharged one?
Incorrect. Scotty.
It was the turbocharged one.
Yeah, we didn't get the turbocharged
one. Oh, no. I said charged. That's 0.5.
I mean, if we're going to play technicalities, a turbocharger is a type of supercharger.
On a technicality, yes, but he can call shenanigans, but I'm not paying it. So we got the 3S GE and the Camry Moto 1, I believe, but we didn't get the GTE, which is the turbo.
Yeah,
that was a good one. Yeah,
sometimes I stick up to you.
Thank you.
Question five. The upcoming Hyundai Santa Fe has been completely changed. I don't know if you guys have seen the... What is it being compared to in the Tyrone. Media? Tyrone.
Ed. Land Rover.
Land Rover. I'll pay that, Tyrone. Well done. You're on the board.
And also like G-Wagon.
Big time.
score check.
Maybe, Rob, you should get one of those.
Maybe.
It's a Jimny and a G-Wagon sort of crossed together. And it's probably cheaper than 80. Oh, actually, no, it probably isn't. It's probably
probably
the same money.
Tyrone on one, Scotty on one, Rob on one, Edward on 0.5, and currently leading on a 1.5 is... Two is Alan. Bonus question. There is a secret door on the side of the new Santa Fe. What does it do? Rob.
It allows you to step up onto the roof.
Correct. Well,
it's a handle, yeah.
Yeah, you put your hand through it. Yeah. It's like a secret door, and you can step up. Yeah, well done, Rob. Yeah. Well done.
Cool, that's cool.
My brother's in the market for a new family car, and he's like,
I was going to buy that.
No, I'm like, oh, did you see a new Santa Fe? He's like, I'm buying the older Santa Fe. I'm not buying the new one.
What?
Anyway, he's like, it looks horrible. I'm like,
new one. I don't like the ass too much, but God, the rest of it looks good.
Yeah, I think the rest of it looks good. I agree with that.
Yeah.
Question six. What is Kia's longest running nameplate here in Australia and in many other countries?
Rob.
Rio?
Incorrect.
Ed. Carnival.
Incorrect.
I was going to say that one. What else is there?
Oh, there's another one. Come on. Go, Alan.
Scott. Serato?
Incorrect.
Yeah.
What is it?
When I say it, you'll be like, oh, yeah, they've done that for years.
Is that happening? Any other guesses?
Probably buzz you guys out. Three.
I'm going to go for the Picanto.
Incorrect. It is the Sportage. The Sportage is their longest running nameplate.
Okay.
They're still doing those.
Yeah, it's been done since the early 90s.
Okay.
Question seven. What car has Ford announced that has reached our shores last week? Scott got in there.
F-150
is correct, Scotty. Well done. Bonus question. Why will the wait still be much more longer?
Scott.
No, I don't really know why. I just thought I'd quickly buzz in. No, I still get my guess. I still get my guess because they are trying to convert them.
Convert them to what?
Right-hand drive.
Right. Well done, I'll pay that. To right-hand drive. So it's funny that they've imported them and they're converting them here. They should have done it in the factory, but anyway, that's
I know.
Well, they're not coming factory.
Ford Australia is converting them here. It's weird.
And we're not getting the V8 or something people were complaining about?
We're not getting the V8. That's correct, yeah.
So is it coming with still coming left-hand drive?
It's
or is it coming with no dash?
Left-hand, no, it's arriving left-hand drive and they convert it. Yeah.
That's even worse.
But yeah.
So then you're going to get a car that's been factory fitted, ripped out.
Correct.
And then put in.
Correct, yep.
That's what happens most of the time anyway with even the Dodge Rams and stuff. But aren't the other places selling F trucks anyway that are like V8?
Correct, yeah. So
which is right there. If you're already going to spend a stupid amount of money on a stupid car,
get dearer.
You also will make it.
What was that, Rob?
They're a bit dearer with the if you go to those like Harrison's or there's another mob in Queensland, and some of the conversions are a bit not chonky, but a bit cheaper, and so and you're paying more for one too. So apparently the Ford conversion is a proper mirror conversion.
Okay.
So yeah,
you do you have to convert it?
Yeah, because it's you know, it doesn't meet ADRs if it's not right.
Who knew? Yeah.
Question eight. The Subaru Brat, as which was known as the Brumby here in Australia. The Brat stood for what?
Ooh.
I'll give you 0.5 for each of the words. Alum.
Oh.
Alum.
We did this. I think we had this once.
Maybe a very
little. It was like a bi-drive all-terrain something, recreation vehicle something.
Yeah, I'll give it to you. Feeling. I'll give it to you. I'll give it to you. Alum, it was a bi-drive recreational all-terrain transporter. That's what it stood for.
Mouthful,
close enough.
Mouthful. Yeah. That's why they abbreviated it.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, well, the Brummy.
Check. We still got two questions to go. School check. Edward on 0.5. Edward, this is not like you, my friend.
I'm very economical. I'm a 0.5 liter.
He's playing golf.
Playing golf. Yeah. Tyrone on 1. Rob on 2, Scotty on 3, and also on 3 is Alum. So still anybody's game, technically. Question 9. Which famous YouTubers themselves have bought an Aussie version of the Brat, the Brumby?
Rob.
Tyrone.
Mighty Car Ones?
Mighty Car Ones, yeah. They recently bought a Barn Find one. Well done.
Yeah.
Question 10. What did Holden call their all-wheel drive system on their adventurers and their crewmans?
Rob.
Was it the Crosstrek?
Crosstrek is absolutely correct.
No wheel drive.
So,
we've got a tie.
We've got a three-way tie, gentlemen, between Rob, Scotty, and Alum, all on 3 apiece. We can't end on a tie, gentlemen. Edward or Tyrone, do you guys have a spare an extra question that you can ask them for to find our winner?
Yeah, I reckon I could come up with something.
All right.
What was an option on local Brumbies that might enable more light in the cabin?
Scott.
Yes, Scott.
Sunroof.
Roof scoop.
Not exactly. I mean, I probably should pay sunroof. It was the Targa top. You could get Brumbies with the Targa.
No, I'm not paying that.
Not a sunroof.
Can't pay that. That's a scam. Another question, please.
So that means Scott's out.
You've given the answer, so we have to come up with another question.
You have to get another question.
No one else is saying anything.
You already said the target. I mean, I could be like, Alan, it was a target top. That'd be cheating, wouldn't it?
All right. The Mitsubishi Magna TR series had a few different colors you could choose from in the brochure.
Rob,
one of them was a light metallic blue. I'm going to give you a multiple choice. There are three names of blue that I'm going to mention. One of them is correct. You've got lapis blue. You've got Bermuda blue. And you've got cascade blue.
Rob.
Yes, Rob?
Cascade blue.
Correct.
Alan, I'm going for lapis.
Rob's right.
Well done, Rob.
Oh, you are tonight's winner. He wrecked it.
See,
that's
Rob,
not fair.
Rob, you had no help from Harley. You had no help from anybody else. Is there anybody that you would like to thank on your achievement tonight?
I'd like to thank Tyrone for stepping on that question because I had that answer, and I could have won it a lot earlier.
He's a real showman.
Oh well.
Congratulations, I'll pay. I've
got 1 second of glory.
Rob, I just want to say congratulations, mate. You can add this to your list of achievements. So, you can add this to your list of jobs. So, for example, you've got Rob's fabrications, firefighting, electrical, mechanical, and trivia,
and trivia. Vinyl wrap,
and vinyl wrap. Yeah, too. Correct. Yeah, I've been experimenting with that.
Work,
gentlemen. I think that's a podcast. Let's cool. do Thanks some plugs. Edward Bunting.
David Prince and I do a podcast. The second season, we can still say it's coming and it's still coming. It's called Auto Retro. You can find it on Spotify or YouTube. Season 2, imminent.
Lovely. Rob's fabrications, firefighting, electrical, vinyl wrapping, trivia, painting, bodyworks, everything. He's your man. Hit him up. The number's 1-3, Rob. It's not really that's the number, but Well, we're gonna make you a jingle because you know those like that Lubemobile will come to you. That's 13, 30, 32.
I got it.
Yeah, tell me. Go.
Rob. What is his job? Rob. What is his job? Nothing too big. Nothing too small. Rob. He does it all.
There
that's
you go.
That's a good one.
Hey, Bob.
Let's all repeat. Rob. This is job. Rob. What is his job? Nothing too big. Nothing too small. Rob. He does it all.
There you go, Rob. That's your jingle. Rob.
That's a jingle. Take that off.
I like it.
Now we're gonna give you a 1-300 number as well.
Yeah.
Every 1-300 call a 1-300 Rob.
Rob. 1-3 Rob.
1-3 Rob. Scotty, your golf tip of the week, please.
Yes, I'm sure this is what everyone's been waiting for, and
this is what everybody waits for in every episode. Like, this is like the best part of the episode, bro. Scotty.
I'm going to say practice your short game. I don't think I've mentioned much about that one yet.
No.
Practice your chipping and around the greens. It's so easy to stuff up those chips and to top it and just have that ball go flying over the green or chip it and it fall and it goes like 10 centimeters in front of you. Mm. Practice it. You'll be dropping strokes in no time.
Yep.
Can I add to that? Just look up and watch out for the ice falling from the sky onto the green. Did you hear about that today?
I did.
Wait, what?
Yeah. Apparently an ice block fell onto the green at a golf course. I think it might have been in Gisborne, maybe somewhere.
An ice block from where?
Come out of the sky. I don't know where.
No. I was just reading about that. I was like, wait, what?
Yeah. That is so weird.
It's a dangerous sport. Keep your eyes open.
Yep. So two tips. Obviously, practice your short game. It's important. And watch out for ice blocks falling from God.
Was it an ice block that you'd get out of your freezer, like a formed ice block?
No, it was sort of a large piece of ice.
Bloody hell.
Sort of fairly big, and it took about 4 hours to defrost, apparently.
Where's that coming from?
From the sky.
Would it come off like an aeroplane, like if the heating's not working well on the wings?
That's what they are saying, and it's pretty much unheard of, but it's a possibility.
Yeah, it is unheard of. But
What did it
also come from?
What did it actually hit?
The green, of course.
Landed right in the green.
Lucky it landed on a golf course, not on your windscreen or something.
That's nice. I always think when people see like weird things falling from the sky in the first it reminds me of the first Rush Hour when Carter looks up at the end and there's like money falling down. He's looking up. He's like, "Oh, thank you, God." Yeah. He's grabbing the money. He's like, "Thanks, God."
You know what it reminds me of? Joe Dirt when he's collecting that meteor that he got.
Oh. That's a good movie, Joe Dan. It's stupid, but it's funny. It's good. Toro, anything you want to plug?
No, nothing.
Nothing?
Just, yeah, no, nothing.
Tyrone's wedding service is coming to a venue near you. And Alan, our boy, please.
Yep. If you're interested in a brand new car or looking at the electric car space, hit up our friend, Mr. Rizzy Ross at carloop.com.au. He's literally the man in the know when it comes to everything electric and also just brand new car sales.
Like and share our Facebook page, it's Car Talk, TORQE with Manny J. If you miss any of our previous episodes, they're all up on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasting out. So don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review to us there. Check out our merch, go to Teespring Store, go to teespring.com and type in Car Talk Store. Support the show by buying some merch or support the show by becoming a patron to our Patreon. Go to patreon.com/Car Talk Podcast. Thanks to our patrons who pay up every month to support the show. We are also on, Alan.
On the good old YouTube, I promise you there'll be 10 more episodes up this week. Just been in a spot of bother recently, but there'll be at least 10 more fresh episodes, or fresh old episodes. So we're working to get the backlog. We've got more than 50 subs. Thank you to everyone that subscribed. You know, keep it up, and hopefully we'll be up among the strong, you know, good old automotive YouTubers.
100%. I've just opened up the link about this.
That looks like chunk of ice. That looks like ice from the aircraft.
You reckon?
Yeah, because it becomes like that.
Crystallized.
It looks like it's you know when you do crush ice.
Yeah,
it looks like that.
It like full divoted the green as well. Like dashed it. Wow, that's crazy. Anyway, if there's anything you've learned from tonight, it's not about Kia dealerships or anything like that. It's about
watch out for falling objects.
Yeah. Gentlemen, honor as always, and I'll see you next week. Take it easy.
Okay, bye.
Sure. Take care.
Yeah. Bye.